All right, welcome back to Sports Central. Buccos playing pretty well right now. 9-10 record. If we could go back 3.5, 4 weeks, would you have thought that they would have been this close to 500, especially after the 1-6 start? But they're playing pretty well. Mike Vukovigin from Pittsburgh Sports Now and Pittsburgh Sports Live joins us to talk some Buccos. How you doing today, man? Everything going well?
Everything good. Just got back from the field. Get ready for opening night tonight. Can't be better.
All right. So we were just talking here a few minutes ago, Mike. When I looked back at the 20-year losing streak, I said a lot during those years that the biggest thing to overcome was the culture of losing. I mean, it was – you just expected the Pirates to suck. I mean, that's just – all there was to it. So we saw a lot of good players come through Altoona, Mike. Got to the playoffs, competed for championships. They'd get to the big leagues, and nothing mattered. Nothing helped. It really kind of took until the whole McCutchen and Neil Walker thing. But to me, that culture of losing was so difficult to overcome. What I really like, and what I think could be the biggest benefit of this season, if they can avoid just some disastrous season, is they can avoid that culture of losing. You got a lot of young guys on this team that have won a lot in their lives and their careers. If you can get them, yeah, this is going to be a learning experience. This is not going to be a playoff. But if you can avoid losing 95 or 100 games and at least be competitive, I think that would be a major factor over the next couple of years to just avoid that culture of losing coming back.
I agree. And something along that lines, and I think that's important to Ben Sherrington. I know the narrative around Pittsburgh has been that, you know, this is going to be a bad team. They're playing for the first pick next year and, you know, da-da-da-da-da. But this week, I saw a couple moves in the last 72 hours from the Pirates management that I don't know would have been made the last couple years, in that you had a center field position that was a dead hole in the lineup, both guys batting, you know, under 100 or pretty close to it. And instead of just going with status quo and accepting losing, the Pirates decided to DFA both Dustin Fowler and Anthony Alford. That couldn't have been easy with Alford, because Sherrington was a big fan of his going back to the Toronto days. And he spoke highly of him last year and thought he was going to be, a potential piece, whether it's a starter or a backup. And he just didn't cut it. He was overmatched, didn't do anything. He was embarrassingly bad as far as striking out almost every appearance. And they said, we're not going to put up with this. Both those guys are gone, and they're trying something else. I don't know that would have happened the last couple of years if, you know, the narrative was correct that they just wanted to lose. If that was the case, then you just keep running those guys out there and, hell with what happens.
Right. And so, again, let's not have delusions of grandeur that this team is going to – I don't think this team flirts with 500 all season. There are going to be issues at the trade deadline and depth. And there's going to be issues we know all about. But, again, if they can just – the longer they can kick the can down the road – I go back to 2012, and Neil Walker – I was on with Neil Walker on a Zoom call on his retirement the other day, and he talked about 2012. They were really good the first half of 2012. Then they were absolutely horrific the second half of 2012. But that set the tone for 2013 when they made the playoffs for the first time and went three straight years. And Neil Walker talked about it. They learned how to win, you know. If this team is ever going to get to a point in 2-3 years where they can be a consistent team that's competing for a playoff spot, you got to learn how to win first. And when they were sitting here at 1-6 a few weeks ago, I mean, we're all kind of sitting there in the back of our minds and, oh, holy hell, this is going to be bad.
Yeah, and a way that I think that this could happen is, and I don't believe they're going to be anywhere close to 500, but they could prevent being a really bad team by continuing what the strength of this team is right now, and that's the bullpen. When you have a bullpen in their last, it's no surprise that in their last 12 games, they won 8 of them. But in the last 9 games, their combined ERA of the bullpen is 1.09.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if that continues, that just takes so much pressure off the starters. It doesn't mean the starters need to be great. If they're keep the team in the game, and you have guys like Rodriguez, Creek, Bednar, Howard, those guys going out there and pumping up zeros, that shortens a game, man. And you're just able to stay in there longer. And right now, that has been the – I thought the bullpen was going to be the strength of the team, but in no way did I think they were going to be this good. Rodriguez and Creek right now are the best statistically. It's only April, but statistically, they're the best eighth inning, ninth inning combination in baseball right now. They're having a lot of run. So that keeps up. You're able to stay in a lot more ball games, which means more W's.
Got to keep those guys healthy because they're going to make a lot of appearances. A lot of these guys are going to pitch a good number of games. I want to go back in time with you a little bit to the 13, 14, and 15 seasons. Because, again, we were talking about this with Neil Walker the other day. Man, it was terrible for 20 years. It was just terrible. After Sid Bream, and then the economics of baseball changed, and all of a sudden the Pirates really just didn't have any money for a long time, and they were drafting third-round picks in the first round, you know, for a number of years in the 90s. It was just terrible. When you think back to going through all of that and then finally getting at least close to the pie in 2013, making the playoffs, what do you remember the most about just how everything finally came to an end with the 20-year losing streak?
The two people that I just associated with are Andrew McCutchen and A.J. Burnett. I just think those guys brought so much. Russell Martin, he was another key part as far as what he did for the pitching staff. But those were fun times, man. I was still in a sort of a way covering the team every day. Job, you know, over there, and there's nothing better than having a baseball team that's in a pennant race and having a baseball team that matters, because unlike football, you're going every day. You're going to the park, you have something to talk about every day, every inning matters, every pitch matters. It was just fun, and fortunately they weren't able to keep that streak going, but you know, just the presence of those guys in particular, I think they changed. And they had some younger guys develop, too. That was the, you know, a little bit with Starling Marte. The biggest problem with this team has been not being able to properly develop players. But during that little stretch, they were able to – they had a few pieces of guys that they were able to develop. And during that time, the ownership did go out and made some moves, either trade or free agents – you know, that allowed them to get in that position. Unfortunately, they weren't able to get over the hump. But, you know, for a three-year stretch, baseball mattered in Pittsburgh again. It mattered around Western Pennsylvania, you know, up in Altoona. It mattered to Pirate fans, and that was awesome.
Mike Vukovkin from Pittsburgh Sports Now and Pittsburgh Sports Live. I'm going to read you the list of the numbers that have been retired by the Pittsburgh Pirates. Number one, Billy Meyer. Number four, Ralph Kiner. Number eight, Willie Stargell. Number nine, Maz. Number 11, Paul Wehner. Number 20, Pi Trainer. 21, the great one. 33, Honus Wagner. 40, Danny Murtaugh, the manager. Obviously 42 with Jackie, retired by everybody. Do you think at some point, now these are legendary Hall of Famers there, do you think at some point the Pirates would consider retiring Andrew McCutchen's number? Because he's not going to the Hall of Fame. Let me just throw that out. Andrew McCutchen's not a Hall of Famer, but because of what we just talked about and how baseball really died in Pittsburgh, would they – I'm not saying he would get retired, but do you think they would consider it?
That's a really good question. I would say no. And it just, not that I would agree with it, but I would say no. I think it would have been if they would have went to the World Series. I think if they would have gotten a little bit farther that team, I think they made it to the playoffs, and, of course, that was important. You know, they're aided by the wild card now, but I don't know. I don't think that would. I think it has to be something a little bit more than just making it to the playoffs. He was a good, obviously, the face of the franchise then. And, you know, a guy that I wouldn't be surprised one day if it comes back and has a role in the organization, sort of like what, you know, I envision for Neil Walker to happen here soon.
Yeah, and I don't think McCutcheon's number gets retired either because, again, he's been a very good player. He's and nowhere close to a Hall of Famer. That's kind of but I'll also say this, and I don't believe the Pirates will ever win another World Series, ever. I just don't believe it's going to be possible financially unless something drastic change. I think they can get to the playoffs here and there, but the difference between getting to the playoffs and advancing in the playoffs and getting to the World Series and win, it's astronaut. So I don't think they're ever going to win another World Series. So I mean, what I'm thinking about, Mike, is if we got 40, 50 years down the road and the Pirates still have not made many playoff appearances, what would we view McCutcheon differently in that realm if the Pirates really don't accomplish much for the next few decades?
No, I think he is what he is. I think he was a very good player. I think he was a very important player, both on and off the field for the Pirates. He brought everything in it, which just always doesn't happen today. But everything that's good, you didn't read about anything with McCutcheon off the field. And he represented the organization in a, you know, perfect manner. And that's what you want. And maybe a statue, something like that might work. I wouldn't be opposed to that, but I'm not into the retiring the jersey unless you're an all-timer, and I don't think the Pirates will either. I tell you one thing, I saw Jason Mackey, since I brought up A.J. Burnett too, he brought an interesting tweet a couple weeks ago, maybe it was last week after one of the struggles by Mitch Keller, and he just threw out there, he said, I'm speaking out, I'm paraphrasing here, but he said something along the lines of, if I was the Pirates, I might look into seeing if A.J. Burnett would be interested in some sort of pitching role, coaching with the organization to help guys, some of these young pitchers that are coming up that maybe need to develop that edge, that attitude, that demeanor on the mound, that have talent and just need to get to that next level. And because Keller's a case just like that. I've been speaking about his demeanor and how he just looks. He looks scared out there. And Burnett has talked in the past about possibly wanting to get into coaching one day. I think that would be a tremendous idea by the Pirates. That's something that Shelton and Sherrington, you know, would buy into.
Yeah, and you'd want to see it relatively soon because you don't want AJ to be out of the game for 15 years and things just be so different. But he did certainly have a flair. But by the same token, I can see other teams wanting to bring him back for that exact same reason. You know, I could see the Yankees wanting to bring A.J. Burnett. Not that he was beloved there by any stretch of the imagination. But I could see A.J. being a valuable and yes, he was in Pittsburgh for a while. But I could see him being a valuable member of a lot of coaching staffs. And I think people in the baseball world would probably realize that, don't you?
Yeah, except that he has spoken about Pittsburgh, and that came up in a story, I'm not sure, a couple years ago, a year ago, maybe when he was in maybe one of those times pre-COVID where he was in the broadcast booth with Greg Brown and one of the color guys. That very topic came up, and he talked about that. Now that his kids are older and they're going to be off, he's going to be looking for something to do, and he'd love to get into coaching. So I don't know. I just thought that was an interesting thing because of the amount of good young arms, the Pirates, not as though, you know, you're going to bring them over to a veteran team that, you know, guys are already established.
That's right.
You know, the Yankees are going to have, you know, older guys with them, whereas the Pirates, you know, their next 3-4 years are going to be filled with their first round picks.
Hey, I'd love to get him inside the head of JT Brubaker and Mitch Keller, those guys. Absolutely, yeah. No doubt about it. Because what they cannot have is another Tyler Glasnow. You cannot be bringing these guys up that have all the talent in the world and you can't figure them out. Jose Bautista, that's not pitcher, but you've got to figure these guys out. You can't constantly be having guys go somewhere else and then the light come on for them.
Yeah, and that's why I thought that start the other day by Keller was important. And I believe my last appearance on your show here, I said the same thing. I don't care what he does all year. He needs to pitch every fifth day, regardless of what his stat line says. They need to he has no purpose anymore in AAA. He needs to pitch for the Pirates, and they need to find out by the end of the year whether or not he's a big league pitcher.
We'll talk again next week. I want to have a discussion with you about the broadcasters. You mentioned that earlier, and Neil Walker could become a broadcaster. So let's do that next week, Mike. I want to get your thoughts on Bob Walk, Steve Blass, John Wehner, Greg Brown. I those are always fun topics to me because everybody's always got their own personal preferences with broadcast. So let's do that next week when we chat. How about that?
Perfect. It's a date.
All right, good stuff. Mike Vukovkin from Pittsburgh Sports Now and Pittsburgh Sports Live. Thanks, buddy. Enjoy your weekend.
Thanks, Corey.
All right, love